If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
What's poppin', twin? It's your boy, Darren Green. Top of the morning, top of the morning. You already know what it is. It's the Darren Green Show. Coming to you loud, live, and in color, honey. Okay, I had to steal that line from T.S. Madison. What's going on? Hey, we are you radio listeners. Hey, audio listeners. Hey, YouTube listeners. Hey, listeners across the board. Okay, shout out to y'all. Because y'all really was doing y'all big one on the audio podcast. And YouTube is doing good, too. YouTube is doing good. And also, I'm not sure about the ratings on We Are You Radio, child. I don't get those analytics all the time. But I'm sure you guys were tuning in and all that good stuff. But, you know, we're back with another episode. It may be a quick one. It may be a quick one, honey, because it was a slow news week. When I tell you, very, very slow. Not a lot of topics that I really was that thrilled to talk about, but I mean, we're gonna get into it, right? We're gonna get into the things because there are things to talk about. Just want to let you guys know, happy Valentine's Day to all the people that are in love, and for the people that are in love with themselves. I've seen a lot of like photo shoots with just, you know, Valentine's Day photo shoots with just people by themselves, like, you know, I got self-love, this, that, and the third. It's to me, I'm like, shout out to y'all, okay? Because look, it don't matter if you're single or you got somebody, child, you're going to celebrate that holiday any way, shape, or form. You know, I didn't really do much. I didn't do nothing, actually, but prep for this show and buy a computer. Look, I got myself my own Valentine's Day gift, honey. I needed a new computer. It's here, but I'm waiting on the monitor because we're not doing Apple no more. We're not doing that all-in-one shit no more. I'm sorry, Apple. You know, shout out to you. But, yeah, it makes no sense. I was going to buy another Apple computer too, actually. And with the storage that I needed, would have been like $2,000 because I need like 1 terabyte of storage. I've been working, this computer, which was a really good computer and it still works good. I'm giving this to my parents, but it's good for like simple stuff. And I have only 200 gigabytes of storage. So that means I have to delete my episodes after I create them. I can't like, you know, keep them and also conserve space. And I'm a simmer. So, you know, I got to take that into account as well. I need the space, honey. And it just didn't make any sense to just spend $2,000 or wait to save up $2,000 for a goddamn Apple computer, child, that's going to be outdated because they're going to come up with a new model. And yeah, I said, let me just get a Dell. A Dell has never, let me knock on wood, but a Dell has never steered me in the wrong direction. I've always been satisfied by their computers. And I don't mean the tech out for a second, because I know you guys probably came here for the gossip. We gonna get into that. But I'm just want to let you know, I got a new computer. So it's gonna be a transitioning period. I gotta get this show done fast so that we can do all the things that we need to do. So the next episode will be on the new system. But anyway, Like I said, very much a slow news week. Nothing really much to get into, but we do have to talk about Gene Simmons from the band Kiss. He caused a stir talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and how, you know, hip hop should not be in it and stuff like that. We'll get into his little comments and stuff like that. In more recent news, DJ Vlad claims that a jury paid off Tory Lanez's trial. Like he's being very transparent and talking about, you know, the Carters and Roc Nation. Well, really Roc Nation and their dastardly deeds and how they paid him to we'll get into it. We're actually going to talk about that first because I want to get that out the way because I thought that was just so funny. Cardi B is beefing with Ice Child, her first opening day doing her concerts and stuff like that, child. She over here talking about something. We going to jump Ice. She falling off the stage. Well, she ain't falling off the stage, but she falling off the chairs, child. We'll get into that in a little bit later. Speaking of racism, you know, with the whole Gene Simmons thing, you know, racist remarks, Congress just passed yet another act that is going to take voter suppression to a whole new level. We'll talk more about that and the bootlickers that support that. You already, if you know, you know. Candy Burris and Todd are at odds yet again. Oh, child, all that and more coming up on the... Now, this is the Darren Green Show. Now, we're going to get into our first topic. Let me go ahead and share the screen now. I do want to talk about DJ Vlad for a second because what the hell? What the H, man? Really? Is that what we're really doing? Here is a synopsis. So this is from the Unplugged News. They said that DJ Vlad just made a bold statement claiming that they paid off all the jury members to convict Tory. That's a serious accusation that raised a lot of questions about the justice system and how high profile cases are handled. This is what he tweeted. I'm going to read it because out of nowhere, he made this tweet shot. He said, I have a confession. Roc Nation has been paying me to support Megan. They also paid off the jury members to convict Tory. And they bribed the judge too. Jay-Z did a verse for his grandson's new album. They paid off Megan's doctor to lie about the bullet fragments. She was never shot. She was never shot. Okay. The LA police are all on Jay's payroll and it doesn't stop with LA, but you're not ready to hear that part. The Mexican guy who stabbed Tory. Okay. Who do you think paid him to do that? You already know the answer. The three Supreme Court judges who denied Tory's appeal, all paid by Roc Nation. Jay also paid Trump not to pardon Tory, even though it's a state case, Trump can only pardon. Anyway, and then he was responding to some people. He was like, oh, well, I guess they stopped paying you. And he was like, yeah, they check bounce, trying to signify that they ain't got no money or whatever. Here's my thing with the whole situation. Wasn't you just sucking Jay-Z Diznae over there with Piers Morgan trying to discredit Jaguar and when she was on the Piers Morgan show? And now you're backpedaling and C-popping, saying that, oh, you were paid and that Megan really didn't get shot. They lied. They made it up. He paid the judge. He paid the jury. He paid all these people. He got Tory put in a blender. My whole thing is I got a couple things. This narrative that Jay or Roc Nation is out to get Tory. Is not that important to these people. Like, what does Tory, I'm not even joking. I'm not even trying to say this as like a Tory Lanez hater. Cause I think he's before his little situation, he's a dope artist, but he wasn't on nobody's radar like that to the point where it's like, you trying to X somebody out. And then what was the other things he said, child? Like the LA police is on Jay's payroll. He lied about. First of all, when that situation went down with Megan, this was before she even started affiliating with Roc Nation. Or maybe you're trying to sit there and say, oh, it always was a part of the deal. Like they always were, you know, ready to work with her and stuff like that. This is not even an artist that's really on their roster. This is an artist that they are partnering with. So to say that, I do think that their involvement after like the trials and them going back in and working to get, you know, the blogger Milagro Grams, like their involvement. I'm like, okay, y'all are too much involved in this. I get it. I mean, but it's not your artist. But at that time, Megan wasn't their artist. And I'm not saying that she didn't know the Carters or she didn't know Roc Nation or wasn't in communication with them. But I'm just like, it's just, I find that hard to believe that they were supporting Megan in that way. And then we have, like I said, we have the evidence. They never had enough reasonable doubt that Tory did not do this. That's why the appeals didn't go through. It isn't because they were paid off. They paid the Supreme Court judges to not appeal Tory's claim. Tory doesn't have a freaking case. Not a reputable case. We have been talking about this shit for years. Until we find some evidence that Tory, some real authentic evidence that Tory did not shoot Meg, unless they trying to sit there and say it was Kelsey, it's a closed case. And for the life of me, like, again, how is, somebody answer me this. Somebody, and I'm pretty sure somebody will, because there's people that you know, they got their tinfoil hats every time they talk about this Megan and Tory shit. Why is Tory so important that he needs to be taken out by Roc Nation and Jay-Z? Does this man have some goddamn secrets that he needs to reveal? I mean, was he working with them? Like, was he supplying music for them? What is it? If you're not going to reveal that, then it doesn't make any sense that you just sitting there saying, oh, well, Jay-Z did this, he did this, he did that. And he paid me to talk, you know, positive and this, that, and the third. And you took the money. Even if that is the case, you're not credible, because you ain't getting paid no more. Now you want to out somebody, child, Vlad TV. He is not credible. He's not a credible source. And I think that, I don't think people should listen to him, but you know, it just is what it is. We gonna move on. Cause this was a topic that I just added on before we got on the show. Cause I woke up to this topic and I'm like, okay, Vlad, come on now. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on. I do want to talk about the Kiss singer, okay, Gene Simmons. He put his foot in his mouth, child, because he says that he doesn't feel like hip-hop music should be on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, okay? Gene, let me just read this excerpt from, I believe, The Shade Room. They said that Gene Simmons, co-founder of the legendary rock band Kiss, is voicing his opinion of hip-hop being introduced in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, Simmons appeared on the Legends and Leaders podcast, where he asked the hosts what bands he was into growing up. The 25-year-old host, Ben, said that he was actually more into hip-hop. Simmons then brought up the disdain for the fact that the genre is included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Take a go. Listen to this, child.
The fact that, for instance, Iron Maiden is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when they can sell out stadiums, and Grandmaster Flash is.
Right.
Ice Cube and I had a back and forth, and, you know, he's a bright guy, and I respect what he's done. It's not my music. I don't come from the ghetto. It doesn't speak my language. And I said in print many times, hip-hop does not belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, nor does opera, symphony orchestras. How come the New York Philharmonic doesn't get the Rock and Roll? Because it's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But he shot back and said, no, it's the spirit of rock. Okay, fine. So Ice Cube and Grandmaster Flash and all these guys are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I just want to know when Led Zeppelin's going to be in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame. Oh,
Lord, child. Here is the thing. He said, who child the ghetto? I think a point can be made here, but you lost the plot when you resorted to racism in that take, for you saying that, you know, I'm not from the ghetto. I don't come from the ghetto. This, that, and the third, it shouldn't be on. What the ghetto got to do with that? And then, you know, he was like kind of wrong, because he stopped himself, because he didn't say it fully. He was like, you know, I'm not from the ghetto. But we knew what he was about to say. Like, I think it was just diarrhea of the mouth in that moment. But I mean, both things can be true at the same time. I think that when we're talking about genres and stuff like that, what's on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I can see where he's coming from, where it's just, he's very genre specific. And it's like these, he could have just worded it in a way of like, okay, well, you know, why don't opera have their opera hall of fame and hip hop have their hip hop hall of fame? And this, that, and the third. Him saying the ghetto child, that was just like, I'm not approving of what he said. I can see both sides, and I can understand what he said. He was talking to Ice Cube, said, and that how it's like the spirit of rock and roll, and that's why it's added on to the list. And there is a point to be said about like, okay, well, when is Led Zeppelin going to be on the hip hop hall of fame? You get what I'm saying? So it don't really go both ways. So I can understand people's frustration as to why, you know, these specific categories are not genre specific. And then people in the comments talk about something. Oh, well, we made rock and roll. And did. Okay, let's be very clear on that. And did. People want to have their own little lists and categories for certain things. There could have been a way to worded it a little better. But at the end of the day, that's just how they think. That's. Girl, that was a topic this week, child. That's all I got to say. Now, I want to get a little bit more serious because this was also a topic that. Whew, buddy, buddy, buddy. Okay. A Florida pastor, T.D. McNutt. Okay. Goes live after his arrest to have his son, or stepson, I should say, recant and apologize for reporting an alleged abuse to his school counselor. They say Florida pastor T.D. McNutt went live on social media with a child seated between him and his wife as the boy apologized and said that the abuse allegations was not true. Now, during the live stream, McNutt claimed that there are real victims in the situation as himself, his wife, and the other child that's living in that home. This is a little bit of what was said here.
Apologize for the police having to put you dad in handcuffs. I apologize, Cameron, for you having to deal with the situation the way that you did and having to see dad get put in handcuffs. I apologize for lying on dad and putting you in the situation that I put you in. I apologize, Mom, for running away and also having you to have to handle me and also the situation as well. I apologize for putting you in the position that I put you in. And I apologize to the both of you all for not being a good son. And I apologize to everyone else as well for not being who I should be and for being a follower and not a leader.
So we've told you for I don't know how long, man, you gonna make mistakes, haven't we?
Yes, sir.
You flesh. You're human. You are a developing young man. We've told you you're going to make.
I don't want to hear too much from him anyway. That's what was said here. He, like I said, he goes on to say that, you know, I'm the real victim. Your mother is the real victim. That, you know, I just think that it's just this really rubbed me the wrong way. There's a lot of video footage, other types of video footage with them interacting with this child. It circulated around on X of, you know, him in the bed in his underwear with the mom, with the stepdad, both in the bed saying happy birthday. And you can clearly see him touching him. And it is just, it is very just disgusting to watch. This is a pastor in Florida. Mind you, Florida is the same state that tried to pass a law, or I think they did pass it, that bars drag queens and children to be in the same vicinity together. But these pastors can sit there and abuse little boys all they want. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, do you see that there's like some type of crazy? And where the hell is CPS? Where the hell is CPS? You can clearly see that child right there. I don't know if he's reading off a teleprompter. I don't know if they made that child memorize. He's not even speaking. That's not his words, I should say. The way he sounds is very, very staged and very planned and scripted. Let's be very clear on that. So I think that God knows what happens after that damn camera came off. But like the way the father just tries to sit there and be like, well, you need to understand that you make mistakes and this happened. Nah, bruh. It's something going on. And for that mammy. Okay. For that goddamn mammy on the side, you chose, mind you, that's not this child's father. So that's a person that you brought into your house, into your home, to do whatever they want to do with your child. You chose your man over your child. You do not deserve to be a parent. I'm sorry. And I judge parents, and I don't care that I'm not no damn parent my damn self, but I judge parents that choose their man or their significant other over their child. Your child comes first. Okay? Your child comes mother loving first. Okay, so the fact that you sat there and you are just allowing this shit to go down, and he'll probably still keep his job as a pastor. He'll probably still, you know, do what he does and this, that, and the third, and probably abuse more boys. They got video footage of this boy getting his eyebrows done, like, very effeminately. You know, I'm not saying that getting your eyebrows done is a feminine thing, but the way it was looking, the eyebrows is on fleek, okay, on a child. He's 12 years old. What are we doing? But then y'all want to come for us. But then y'all want to come for the community and say that we're the groomers when we're watching grooming at its finest in 4K. That just doesn't make sense to me. And that's why when you see people like Drewski make fun and do the, it's not, because I was talking to my best friend about this. It's like, it's not the fact that he's making fun of God. He's making fun of these damn false ass pastors that want to portray a life of living holy and stuff like that. But then behind closed doors, you are abusing children. You're abusing people. That's why I love the Jesus Honk the Horn with Regina Hall. Very important movie. It was a funny movie, but it was very important. It had some very serious conversations talking about how abusive pastors can be in these mega churches. But it gets looked past because I think some people, they view these pastors, these mega churches, especially if you're in it, they view the pastors in the same light as God. Like, just like when you see all those clips, and I showed you the clips, you go look at some other episodes I did before of them willingly, like, giving these people, like, thousands of dollars. I'm like, y'all are acting like like he's talking to God. No, people need to be held accountable. I hope CPS watches this. I hope this child gets taken away. I hate to see him go into the system, but it looks like that's what's going to have to happen, because these two right here, shame to even show their face. They're not even showing their face. They're just pointing the camera to the child. It's weird. It's weird. And, you know, what can I say? You know, they look at us how they look at us, but they be doing the, let me stop, child. Let me get off my little trip, honey girl. Child, let's move on. Now, I do want to get, now Obama, I feel like I'm going past a lot of things. But Obama, he responded to Trump. So you guys already know the situation. Trump had posted, or his page posted, a very racist video depicting the Obamas as monkeys. He responded. I didn't think they were going to respond, but here's what Obama had to say.
Just days ago, Donald Trump put a picture of you, your face, on an ape's body. And so, again, this is kind of, we've seen the de-evolution of the discourse. How do we come back from a place that we have fallen into?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to recognize that the majority of the American people find this behavior deeply troubling. It is true that it gets attention. It's true that it's a distraction. As I'm traveling around the country, as you're traveling around the country, you meet people. They still believe in decency, courtesy, kindness. And there's this sort of clown show that's happening in social media and on television. And what is true is that among people who used to feel like you had to have some sort of decorum and a sense of propriety and respect for the office, right? So that's been lost. There doesn't seem to be any shame about this among people who used to feel like you had to have some sort of decorum and
he basically said Trump and his administration is ghetto as hell. Okay.
Girl.
Okay.
This girl is delusional.
Yeah. Basically, that's what it is. Like, there's no decorum at all. There's no class with this administration. And I think he basically responded very elegantly He didn't do it in a way that was like, you know, okay, you come for me, I'm gonna come for you. Like, they're going by the same model. You know, you go low, we go high, whatever they said there. Now, if you would have took it to hell, look, Obama, you've been through a lot. You done did a lot for this country. If you want to take it to hell with him, child, we would have been like, yup, and. But there's something to people that, you know, takes adversity, you know, that, you know, whatever adversity they got against somebody that comes for them, and they look at it in the way of like, okay, well, you know, it's a lot of, I have decorum, you don't. It's clearly you don't have any decorum, so we're just going to leave you alone. It's just completely asinine to watch this administration, you know, during the day-to-day thing. We're going to talk about the administration a little bit later because we're going to talk about that damn SAVE Act. But anyway, I just wanted to touch bases with y'all on that. Now, I do want to talk about Cardi B for a little bit, y'all, because now she beefing with Homeland Security. Girl, first of all, Cardi B kicks off her Little Miss Drama Tour, okay, and sis came for ICE. This is what she said, child.
If ICE come in here, we're going to jump their asses. Jump bitch, I got some bear mace in the back.
Okay, heavy on the bear mace, because, you know, some of them do need to be bear mace. Now, anyway, Homeland Security responded like the freaking bitches they are. They said, as long as she doesn't drug and rob our agents, we'll consider that an improvement over her past behavior. Now, Cardi did respond, because you know she always going to get her get back. She says, if we talking about drugs, let's talk about Epstein and friends drugging underage girls to them. Why y'all don't want to talk about the Epstein files? That's a good goddamn question. These files have been out in public, and people have been talking about it, and there's an active investigation. What the hell is Homeland Security doing? Still detaining migrants, you know, still doing those stupid montage videos with people music in the background of them detaining people. Yeah, no, Cardi got a goddamn point. Nah, ICE. Okay. Not they beefing with, like, y'all got so much time today. And for them to sit there and make that, oh, hopefully she doesn't drug and rob the agents. Okay, what barbs work for the Homeland Security? I know there ain't no barbs working at no goddamn Homeland Security, because how the hell y'all even knew about that shit? That topic was definitely not people did not talk about that a lot. I mean, I remember that video. I remember when I did my little, when I was acting like the Shade Room and posting a lot of like celebrity gossip and stuff like that before I started showing my face. I remember that video circulating around, but it was always on the back burner. Like, people really didn't talk about it that much. So I'm like, who the hell over there at Homeland Security is a barb? Okay, because what's going on, child? Not the clapback with the clapback, honey. Now, speaking of Cardi, we do have to talk about Stefan, because he had his day in court, okay? And he pleads not guilty after the chef accused him of slapping her and trying to choke her, okay? This is, I'm going to read this excerpt from the Neighborhood Talk. It says that Stefan Diggs appeared in court Friday morning in Massachusetts, where he formally pleaded not guilty to an assault charge connecting to the December 2025 incident involving a personal chef. As previously reported, the chef claims that the situation escalated during a dispute over money, and she believes she was owed, according to her account. After a text exchange about the payment, Diggs allegedly entered her bedroom and slapped her. She further alleged that he then attempted to choke her by placing his arms around her neck. Diggs' attorney spoke after the hearing and maintained the allegations are all false. His legal team say that they are confident that once all the facts and evidence are reviewed, Diggs will be cleared of wrongdoing. The judge ordered Diggs to have no contact with the alleged victim while the case is pending. He did not have to post bail, but must comply with the court's conditions. Diggs is scheduled to return April 1st. Now, the chef, Adams, who has been a professional chef for public figures for a decade, shared a post doubling down on her allegations, shutting down false information. She says, in quotes, claims that I engage in a settlement discussions are not true. I have never sought money nor engaged in settlement discussions to settle this matter. Statements suggesting otherwise are harmful and untrue. As a survivor of domestic violence, I take these matters extremely seriously and would never make false claims for personal gain or to damage somebody's reputation. Okay. So she not taking a settlement. So that means you probably Stefan, you probably went to her and was like, all right, how much is it going to cost to shut you up? I think he did it. And you want to know your old girlfriend, because apparently Cardi and Stefan ain't together no more. But the way Cardi was talking about and was revealing those text messages and shit like that, I knew day one. I'm like, bruh definitely was doing something. He definitely did something. You get what I'm saying? Situations like this, it really is her word against his. You better not come up guilty, Stefan. I'm sorry. Like that. You will be fired, because let's be very clear. His team, I think the Patriots, right? He's a Patriots, or somebody in the NFL, child, somebody in a high place basically said, we are completely aware of the pending case with Stefon Diggs, and we will be, you know, looking into this. So your ass better hope you don't come up guilty, because you had what you had, all them children you got, child, all them damn children. How you gonna pay for all that? You had four different children with four different baby mamas in 1 year. And somebody said it on TikTok, child, you know what somebody in the hood got DL allegations. They have like 5 or 10 kids just to prove they ain't DL, child. And that's probably why he probably got a little aggression on him too. I think that you really, he's making tweets and stuff like that and just like posting. He's starting to look really weird. It is starting to give a little offset vibes a little bit. And, you know, do I think people lie about certain situations? Yes. But the fact that this woman is not taking the settlement, I mean, even if she was taking the settlement, right? Because I don't feel like women should be fought for doing, or victims should be at fault for doing that as well. I mean, look at Cassie. Cassie did take a settlement. That is your choice. But the fact that she said, I don't want your money, this is all about principle, you put your hands on me, I kind of believe her. Sorry, not sorry. Like, it's checking out. I'm sorry. But that's just is what it is. And if that happens and your ass get fired, child, what are you going to do, Joe? You're going to end up like Antonio Brown, strung out, ain't always out, child, in the pool, in a public pool area. Shit, I'm telling you right now, child, it's not going to look good for Mr. Stefan, child. And you don't mess with no witch. Because I knew back when that damn Super Bowl, they was asking Cardi, I'm like, oh, what do you think about Stefan? Do you think he's going to win? Like, do you have any words of encouragement? Good luck. And mosey on over, okay? We will see how this plays out and give you guys updates, of course. So, also, speaking of people pleading not guilty, Don Lemon, hey, shout out to him, child. Because Don Lemon has pleaded not guilty in a Minnesota federal court after being indicted in connection with the protest that disputed at a church service amid Trump administration's immigration crackdown. This is what he said after the hearing.
Hey, this is about all journalists, especially here in the United States. First off, I'd like to thank everyone again for their support, to my colleagues, countless journalists around the world, the Lemon Nation, my family and my friends. You all have showed up for me in a real way, and I am extremely grateful for that. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. For more than 30 years, I've been a journalist, and the power and protection of the First Amendment has been the underpinning of my work. The First Amendment, the freedom of the press, the bedrock of our democracy. The events before my arrest and what's happened since show that people are finally realizing what this administration is all about. The process is the punishment with them.
Period. You know, shout out to him. I definitely feel like this whole situation was very concerning. I mean, you know, this is the first time in my lifetime, I should say, that I've seen like a journalist actually get arrested for doing their job reporting the news. So I believe that his team is going to fight, and we will definitely, like I said, I will keep you guys posted on any updates. I don't think they're going to win. I'd be very surprised if they do. If they do, then I'm like, damn, Don, what's going to happen to you, girl? But I don't think they're going to win. I think he should countersue. Just, you know, pay for my troubles. Pay for my goddamn troubles. Now, the people that organized the protest, I don't know, child. It's not looking good for y'all. I'm not going to hold you, child. But anyway, I do want to talk about Candy Girl and Todd. They are at odds again. Ugh, I got to read this excerpt from the Neighborhood Talk. Now, it says that Candy Burris is accusing Todd Tucker of shacking up in their Atlanta guest house rent-free while allegedly not paying for a single thing. Okay, according to court documents, she claims that he hasn't covered utilities, gas, lawn care, water, pest control, or even alarm systems. Not one expense. Okay. She also says that Todd hasn't contributed to the tuition, school supplies, birthday parties, cost of child support with Ace and Blaze. Meanwhile, Candy says she's been the main caregiver while juggling her Broadway run in New York and flying back to Atlanta to see her kids. Now she's asking the judge to order child support, make him share expenses, and lock in a parenting schedule. It's important to know that Candy had the guest house before she married Todd. That's very important because we were there, honey. We were there when she was touring that damn house, okay? Now, Todd made a subliminal response at first. Like, he was in the car driving, listening to Rick Ross, of all people, trying to act unbothered. But there was a TMZ report, and Todd says that his guest house was for a reason, according to TMZ, that he alleged that Candy had some of her family members move his personal belongings from the main home to the guest house without his permission. He claims that despite not agreeing or being advised beforehand about the belongings being removed, he still cooperated with the changes because he wanted to live life amicably between this, you know, with the situation. And Todd is also reportedly denying that he left their marital home voluntarily. Todd is also claiming that before their split, they both contributed money into joint bank accounts for the children. Now that they're separated, he says that Candy does not want to use those accounts and that he is voluntarily footing the bills. Okay. There is a quote that's being made. It says, Candy now attempts to reframe and weaponize this self-created financial arrangement as evidence of financial instability or neglect, while the timing and sequence of the events demonstrate otherwise. Now, he is asking the courts, okay, to grant him primary physical custody of their two children, Ace and Blaze, until a permanent parenting arrangement is in place, claiming Candy is trying to change the narrative of their divorce in compensate for her ongoing absence due to her busy work schedule. It's very messy, Boots. It's very messy, messy, messy over there with them. Candy, Candy, Candy. Child. That man is trying to ask for some full goddamn custody. He's going to get your ass for child support. That's what this is all about. You have created a monster. And I'm hearing that he having stripper holes over there, child. Now, ain't the guest house is where the dungeon at? So you in the guest house where the dungeon is, and you bringing home stripper holes, and I'm not a part of that shit? From my understanding, and that's what's important, that was noted in the blurb here, Candy had this house before she married Todd. Why the hell this nigga still in this house? I'm sorry. The moment we would have been separated, and I'm not even talking about on some, oh, you a man, you got to do this and the third. This is my house. My house. I paid for this shit. I put the pool in there. I put the dungeon in there. And if I need somebody to get the fuck out, I'm calling Ray Ray, Pookie, and Peanut, and they going to evict your ass immediately. Because I paid for this house. This is my house. We didn't pay for this house together. So really, I don't know what you're doing in here. I don't know. And see, I was watching a little bit of Funky Dineva's take on this. And it's like, well, you know, at the end of the day, I didn't agree with Funky Dineva said, like, you know, I feel like he's just in milking the situation. I mean, I guess. But I do know that there is probably a lawyer where his attorneys is definitely in his ear telling him, you need to do X, Y, and Z. If she going to sit there and leave you high and dry, you make sure you get a penny. That is what divorce is. I mean, you're picking up the pieces and you're trying to figure out how your finances is going to allocate out, whether you're going to get half, whether you ain't going to get nothing. You signed a prenup. You willingly signed a prenup that you're now saying that you were backed in the alley to freaking sign, which that wasn't the case. We saw the show. We saw everything. You were pissy that you had to sign it, but your ass still signed it. Okay. Now you want to get the, now you want full custody of the kids because you want the child support because you need money. And I feel so bad for Candy because I'm just like, damn, they saying, oh my goodness, Mama Joyce is definitely said, I told you so, I told you so. I'm not even thinking about Mama Joyce. I'm thinking about this chick right here. Remember her?
So, you know, Ty was always on the, he was always on the come up, and I'm not mad at that.
But you already know that when people say on the come up, you know that means you're getting with someone who has more money.
But all I'm saying is he always found himself in a better situation.
Natalie, don't water it down.
Honestly, you seem sweet, but you're doing the same thing to Candy that she just did it.
Natalie, I know she is sitting somewhere, girl. She like, I told her, I did not tell you, because I told you, like, girl, oh my goodness, this is, and I feel bad for Candy, because she did like a video, like a Valentine's Day video of her, like, getting dolled up and putting her wig on and stuff like that. Like, she is painting the narrative that everything is fine, everything is cool, everything is amicable. Every time she does that, a new situation comes out, like, every time she says, we're good, we are really good. He was at the event. He was at our child's birthday for like 5 minutes. You get what I'm saying? Like, every single time they're like, everything is good, more news comes out. Like, this divorced child is getting messier and messier. She needs to come back. Like, I don't know if they need to just like get Phaedra out for a little bit, because I know she said she don't want to take with Phaedra, but I feel like Candy, girl, we need to see this. We need to see what's going on, because there's a lot of things. And I said this to my best friend before I came on here, and don't fight me on it, Candy fans. But her saying that everything is fine and everything is going, you know, we're going through the process amicably, and then stories like this comes out, and then Todd is speaking out and saying that, well, you know, she's like trying to control the narrative and stuff like that. It's like, you're not saying much, Candy. But, oh, everything is fine, but everything's not fine, because we're getting these reports. So it's like, what is really going down? Like, what's really happening? Like, and I'm not, and that's not to say that Todd is an angel. I think both of these people, they both ain't shit. Really, if you want to think about it, they both ain't shit. Okay. But I definitely feel like Todd is definitely trying to get some type of opportunity out of this situation. He's trying to milk the cow somewhere, shape, or form. I'm leaving here with something. I'm from around the way. I'm leaving here with something. That's what type of time Todd is on. Now, y'all would tell me what y'all think about that in the comments. Since we're on the topics of housewives, I do want to talk about Ashley Garbage. Okay, the goddamn Darby's Barbie, this whore, because she sat up here on a podcast to, again, talk about her then friend Sharice's son that she smashed, the son that she met when he was underage. Okay. And tried to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, I was trying to throw her a bone. I was trying to help her get on the show. Here's what this whore said.
One of the biggest shockers this season was your confession about hooking up with Sharice's son, Jackson Jordan. What made you want to tell Sharice that in the moment?
It's been just kind of sitting on me for a while. It's been sitting on me for 2 years now.
Oh my.
And, you know, I wanted Sharice back on the show.
Yeah,
I have. And I almost told her umpteen times, right? And I was going to take it to my grave and just be like, because Jackson was like, you know, I keep my life, my love life private from my mom. And I was like, but that's also my friend, you know, like, granted, she had given it her blessing and jokingly in the past. She did. She was like, can you be my daughter-in-law? She would ask that. And so I was like, hey, girl, like, this could be your chance. Get you back on the show.
I cry it.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, she is just. She was trying to get me with her son. You freaking liar. You are a liar, and I don't believe that shit. And even if that is the case, Sharice is kind of weird for that, too. If that is the case, Sharice is weird as well. They're all weird in this situation. Even the goddamn son, knowing that that's one of your mom's friends. What type of weird, icky, diddy shit is this? It's just very weird. The fact that he said, I was trying to help her get on the show. Just like this commenter said, she is fighting so hard for her spot next season. Your spot is so up for grabs, honey. We don't want you back. The audience doesn't want you back. I don't even think production wants you back. You gave us nothing. You gave us nothing this season but being a bully and a biatch. Okay, for no goddamn reason. Okay. And now you're trying to plant some seeds for next season, because if they do bring back Sharice in some capacity, you have somebody to beef with. I hope they do not bring this hoe back. I don't want her back. I don't. It is so crazy too, because some people don't believe when I say this. I think she's worse than Giselle. I rather see Giselle, because at least Giselle, she's mean. She's a mean girl. Like, she's not to be trusted, but Ashley is that mean girl that thinks that tries to act like she your friend, and then behind closed doors, you know, sticky in the back with a knife. She's that person. At least like Giselle's up front with it. Like, she ain't gonna stab you in the back. She gonna stab you in the front. Like, she. But Ashley Garby, she's going to sit there and act like she your friend, and then when the time comes, she gonna turn on you. That's what she did to Wendy, with them. You know, the jabs about her being arrested and shit. And I can't wait to see that. Girl, I was going to talk about Karen too. Her talking about being a functioning addict, whatever that means over there on the Sherry show. I ain't got nothing for her, child. I ain't got nothing for her. Other than, girl, you need to get some help. Why are you saying you could start an AA? Girl, we're not even at the point where you're not even at that point yet. Like, you could start an AA, bitch, you need to go to an AA. Girl, the first step is admitting that you have a problem. Now, I don't think we have anything else to talk about other than this SAVE Act. It's the last topic of the episode. I make sure I talk about my politics at the end, because I know y'all want to talk about celebrity gossip. So if y'all done, see y'all later. Talk to y'all later with the weekly app and all that. But yeah, the SAVE Act is apparently happening. So the U.S. House of Representatives this week passed legislation, or last week, that they will require voters to provide proof of citizenship as the midterm elections approaches. The Safeguard American Voter Eligibility, or SAVE Act, would require people to present a valid passport or a birth certificate when registering to vote. The proposal has raised concerns among some groups, including married individuals who have changed their names and may not have matching documents. It will be harder for people to send It'll be harder for them to send in mail-in ballots. And election workers, be very wary, because if you make a mistake and you give somebody the right to vote and they don't have the proper paperwork, you can serve up to 5 years in prison. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The Democrats say that the legislation disenfranchises eligible voters, while Republicans say that it is necessary to prevent any voter fraud. The Trump has repeatedly praised the legislation and encouraged his Republican Party to push through both chambers and of Congress so that they can sign it into law. While supporting the bill, Trump has also repeated his false claims that 2020 election was stolen. And I think that's where that video montage came in. The bill faces an uphill battle in the Senate, where it does not have enough backers. And we already have our bootlickers to the rescue as they go on their X accounts and encourage people to call their senators, like MAGA Minaj and Elon Musk. He's not really a bootlicker, but he's just, you know, I can see why he, I don't even see why he advocate for this. You an immigrant too. But anyway, I don't really want to make it about her, but make no mistake, this is not to fix the problems with the voting system in this country. It is definitely to deter people from voting. I already have friends now that are looking at this and it's like, I got to go through this. I'm not going through this hassle just to vote. And the person I voted for not win. You get what I'm saying? That's what they want. They want that. And that is voter suppression at its finest. We know that there is 56% of Americans that obtain a passport. Only 56%. Okay. Not to mention how many Americans also do not have their birth certificate or have it readily available, either by because their parents misplaced it. Their parents, there's situations where people's parents are hoarding birth certificates. And thank God I have responsible parents that saved my files and stuff like that. I got my birth certificate, but I have friends that literally said they had to go out and buy a copy of their birth certificate. And who's to say that will even work? They probably want the authentic, the real deal. I can see conservative parents hoarding their children that are liberal. I can see them hoarding their birth certificates so they don't vote. Like, this is crazy. Like, this is very much crazy work. And as for Nikki, because I referenced her, she posted a video. I don't really want to talk about her too much, But she did post a video talking about how this is not a black issue. This is the video. This is another creep.
Do here is the same thing that was done in the South for decades to prevent people of color from voting.
See, this is where my righteous anger pop up, because I know what he's saying is a lie. I live in the South. I've been living in the South my whole life on the Gulf Coast. I go to vote every single time there's an election. And guess what? I show my ID. I write my signature. They check to make sure who I am. I go vote. No problems. Nobody asking me any questions. Nobody making me count the jelly beans in the jar. And quit lumping us in the people of color category. We're black Americans and we are citizens, and nobody is taking away our right to vote. What they are doing is they're using black people, going back in the past, provoking emotional manipulation, because they know if they say Jim Crow or slavery, black people gonna be like, oh my God, he's right. They're coming again.
That's what this person said. And Nikki followed up by saying, may I just add this? Black people have an ID because they know their black asses are more likely to be pulled over and stopped in on the streets. Stop using black people and married women in your shenanigans and say what you really want. Say what you really mean. You really mean illegal immigrants so that you can cheat American citizens out of their fair election. Shut the hell up. Shut the hell up. Okay. I am so sick, and it's not even just Nikki, right? Because we're not talking about IDs. We just talked about you need either a passport or your birth certificate. We know that people that change their names when they're married, it's a hard time for them getting the correct information. And we know that approximately 2 million African Americans, not migrants, African Americans, may lack necessary readily available documents to prove citizenship. Older black Americans in particular may lack birth certificates due to historic racial discrimination and segregation preventing hospitals births in the South. Roughly 11% of Americans of color, including black Americans, lack the immediate access of citizenship documentation compared to the over 8% of white Americans. So if it walked like a duck and quacked like a duck, then what the fuck does that mean? It's voter suppression. That's what that is. That's what that is. You're going to see a lot of black people in droves. I'm telling you right now, you're going to see a lot of black people in droves. Don't let these bootlickers, let me get them off the screen, child. Don't let these bootlickers try to sit there and tell you that this is not your problem as well. Because when it comes time for you to vote and you ain't got that birth certificate or that damn passport, you're going to be shit out of luck. You're going to be shit out of luck, okay? And you're not going to be able to vote. They spinning it saying, oh, well, you know, everybody got an ID. Most people got IDs. I mean, let's be very clear. We get IDs for the wrong reasons. We get it for the right reasons. We get to go into clubs. We get to get liquor. You get what I'm saying? And we get it to when we're, like Nikki said, when we getting stopped by the police. But at the end of the day, not everybody has access to their birth certificate, and not everybody has a passport. I know I don't, and I know that shit is expensive. To get a birth certificate, if you misplaced yours, that shit is expensive. It's not cheap and it's not easy to get. It's not something that, okay, I'm gonna just go to City Hall and just pick it up. They're just gonna print me out a copy. Like, no, you gotta wait weeks. In the midterm, they're doing this right before the midterm elections. Like, we know what this is. Like, it's so crazy how people just try to sit there and play the American people. But you know what? It is what it is. It has to go through the Senate. So hopefully the senators make the right decision. That's all I can say. And that's all I can say with this episode. Okay, we are done. I didn't think we were going to go this far. You know, we're almost at an hour. And, you know, shout out to me for doing that. But I will talk to you guys later with the weekly app. Yeah, that's it. Bye.
Thank you. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.